7.9.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop.
Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
All right, and Jarmin Leitner. Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, with First Thursday Jacksonville. I'm president of First Thursday Jacksonville, as well as Harvest Intervention Services. And I am in the studio, and joining me on the line are my co-hosts who are traveling on this cold Saturday morning. Larry Williams, out Midwest somewhere, Larry. Good morning. And Dr. Richard Danforth, who is a little bit further in Central Florida. So, good morning, guys.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Saturday. How you doing? Hey, good morning, Dr. Danforth out there in wherever you are.
Yes, I'm doing well. Everybody's staying. They're trying to stay warm this morning. It's actually cold. It's not just, you know, crisp and cool. It's cold this morning. So, nice morning to stay wrapped up and wear some boots. So, I'm enjoying that. Yeah, this boots weather. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So how is it? Right. What's going on in the Midwest?
Well, everything is cold and brisk. But outside of that, you know, there's some things. There's always something going on in and around Chicago. So,
yes.
You were mentioning, and that we'll get into.
Yes, we'll get into that national
The conversation.
All right.
But you know, we wanted to let folks know that the sessions are, the phones are open this morning. You want to call in and chime in on any of the conversations that we're going to have, including the shooting in Chicago, the elections. The Florida elections are finally grinding to a halt, and folks are finally figuring out who their next governor is and their senator and Florida commissioner, amongst other political races. And we're going to talk about that. If you want to chime in, again, it's 296-2251. What else is going on in Jacksonville, Doc and Jarmin?
All right, Dr. Danforth.
Good morning, Dr. Jacksonville. I'm in Central Florida in Orlando. I'm here preparing for the big day, the big celebration of the football game. Of course, they're having a big one over at the University of Central Florida, but I'm talking about the one between the Florida A&M Rattlers and the Bethune-Cookman Wildcats today. So it should be a humdinger, and of course, we have a lot on the line in terms of the best halftime show, and so we know who will win that. Certainly will be Florida A&M with my son leading the way in the tuba section. So,
what is that called? Is that a classic? Isn't that a classic game?
Yeah, it's the classic. So there are thousands of people here, and all of the hotels are full. They're paying bed taxes, and I guess that's how they do it in Orlando.
Okay. Well,
they're paying what?
Bed taxes? Is that what you said, Dr.?
Oh, yeah.
That's how
days. Okay,
I know the city runs on tourism and bed taxes, putting people in beds.
Okay. Like in the Airbnbs and all of those, you know, are full.
And everything. All these hotels. It's unbelievable the number of hotels in Orlando. But certainly with with the tourism industry, you would expect that. But I see, I read in the paper this week where the Times Union reported that we've had 104 murders in Jacksonville this year. I've been behind, you know, maybe 15 murders, but that's what's being reported now. So we're already over 100, and the year has not ended, gentlemen.
Okay. Okay. So where is that in reference to last year? Are we over?
Well, if we continue the trend, we definitely will surpass the number of killings that we had last year. And, you know, we have to wonder, will it ever end? And I don't know. I can't answer that. But we seem to be having a large number of tragedies throughout America right now. It's just too much incivility taking place around the country. A lot of hot air coming out of our leadership. So
yes, and
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yes, and we also see locally that I guess in talking about crime and maybe crime prevention, Duval schools are implementing 2 metal detectors. I read for each high school, just to deal with some of the violent threats that the high schools may receive. So that's going to be implemented in 2 high schools. They'll have metal detectors that are actually portable, but they won't. They're reporting that they won't require the students to walk through the metal detectors every day. They're just going to deploy them when there's an actual threat.
So, Jarman, is it just for Duval public schools? What about the charter schools? What about the religious-oriented schools? Are they exempt from these, you know, are they also putting metal detectors into their facilities, or is it just the public schools?
I can't speak to that. I just see in the article that they're mentioning Duval County School District.
Well,
is the focus.
The private schools and the charter schools have their own regulations and are not governed by those of the Duval County public schools. So I'm sure that they're not putting in any metal detectors in their schools, you know, and it sounds like Duval isn't comfortable putting them in either because they're doing it with, what do you call it, a mobile?
Yes, they're portable walk-through metal detectors, and they're just going to use them for, you know, for threats. So if there's, just according to the article, if they receive a threat prior to, you know, the staff and students arriving, that they will put up the metal detectors for everyone to walk through after they've
so,
received
Jama, it. Have they put a cost, a price tag on what it's going to cost us to implement this policy?
It says about $4 million in state dollars to buy 44 portable walk-through metal detectors. So it's about $4
million.
So wow, well, $4 million
for detectors that they're going
to spend
somewhere in idle and make a call. It's just like the when a fire starts, they call the fire department and they send out the fire trucks. Is that how this is supposed to work? Just these portable units, or are they sitting them at the schools and then just break them out?
Well, the report says that they are going to use them when there is a threat. So it sounds like they'll be sitting there until they need to be used when a threat arises. So I don't know. It seems like it should be used a little more preventative to me. You know, random walkthroughs. You know, the student shouldn't know that. You know, well, when we get a threat, then we'll have to walk through the metal detectors.
Well, it's a shame that we've gotten to the point. I mean, where are we headed? As a country, I mean, is there any end to the madness? You know, what's next?
That's a good question, Dr. Danford. We need to focus more on actually being preventative. You know, I mean, we can get preventative items and have preventative ideas, but if we don't apply them and implement them on a consistent basis to see if there's going to be any change, then things won't change.
Well, they won't change, and all of this is all about the money. Come on, be serious. The Duval Public Schools had an opportunity to implement a grant through the state, and they took advantage of it. You know, $4 million on the budget, even though you know, it appears that it's a washout on the cost, the expense versus the revenue income. It's all about getting the money, and that's what this seems to be all about. Because if it didn't, you wouldn't have gotten portable units. You would have gotten units that you're going to install. And I don't know where the doc was going with there with this or not, but I am. Is that either you're going to use the things or not? You know, if you're going to use metal detectors, use them. All the time. And if not, don't bring them into the schools.
Do we have all the security people now in the schools? You remember we're supposed to have a
the school officer. Safety assistants. I haven't heard any recent reports on that, so I think it still stands is that they don't have those positions filled.
Yeah, if you don't fill the positions, then you don't have to spend the money.
Well, let me ask you, who's going to be trained to use these metal detectors? Do you need a security officer to do that? Will a principal be in charge of checking all these students coming in and out?
No, that's a good question, Dr. Danford. I don't have the answer to that one. Who would operate the metal detectors? But I would assume there would be some training going on in order to use it properly. And like you said, it is a lot of madness going on, but we serve an awesome God, and we just have to continue to pray and trust Him to work things out. And on that note, we're going to take a music break and listen to Troy Sneed, Awesome God. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
I wonder if you would take a few moments out of your time right now and help me celebrate the awesomeness of our God. My God.
Lord, you are awesome. Everything that has breath proclaims.
Now, if I were you, I would take a moment right now and say, Lord,
Lord, you are awesome.
And you're faithful.
Faithful and true.
I've searched all
you
over. I couldn't find nobody
like you.
You're highly exalted.
You're highly exalted.
And your name.
Your name is above all names.
That's it. Come on, help me say it. You're an awesome God.
Awesome.
You're not ashamed,
we are not ashamed
of an awesome God.
Awesome God.
Let heaven
let
and earth, you're an awesome God.
You're an awesome God.
You're an awesome God.
Awesome God.
Lord, you're awesome.
Lord, you are awesome.
Great Redeemer.
Great Redeemer.
Lord, you are awesome.
Lord, you are awesome.
Mighty Healer.
Mighty Healer.
Lord, you are awesome.
Lord, you are awesome.
And we bless. Now, can I get you to get with me just for a few moments and help me say,
awesome God.
We bless
your holy.
You're an awesome God.
Awesome God.
And we're not ashamed,
we are not ashamed
of an awesome
of
God.
God.
That heaven
that
and earth,
heaven
you're an awesome God.
You're an awesome God.
You're an awesome God.
Awesome God.
Try to get them up. Get them up. Come on. Clap them up. All over America. All over this world. Wherever you are right now. Come on. I know you might be at work. Matter of fact, you might be in your car, but keep your hands on the wheel. And if you will, come on, help me say this.
You are awesome.
You are awesome. Come on. I said, you are awesome.
You are awesome.
I stand boldly here today.
You're an awesome God.
Awesome God.
You're an awesome God.
Awesome God.
All right. Yes, Lord, you are an awesome God, and we give you all the glory. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio. And joining me on the road is Larry Williams and Dr. Richard Danford. And we've been talking about some things that have been going on locally and the elections that continue to be in the media and a popular topic right now due to the recount. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We do have a guest speaker, Darren, in the studio with us this morning, who's a political commentator. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And Larry, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know that people, you know, have some questions about what's going on and still wondering whether their votes count because of the things that are going on. And we do want to encourage our listeners that if you want to call in, you can call in at 296-2251 to chime in on the conversation. But also remember that your vote does count. So don't allow what you see to discourage you.
Okay, John. And, hey, thank you. And good morning, Darren Mason Sr. Thanks for being a guest political commentator this morning. And also to the listeners, you know, call in if you have some questions. I want to chime in on anything that we're talking about at 296-2251. Darren, it's just been an interesting political season here during the midterms of 2018. You know, folks have, you know, we talked about getting out the vote, and as this election draws to a close here, their votes are still being counted. So folks need to really be aware and you know, vigilant in their right to vote and taking advantage of it. You see how close these races are, not only in Florida, but in Georgia and across the country. They're, you know, having to do hand recounts and, you know, pulling the votes that, you know, were not counted or had, you know, differing names on it, but identifying the votes. They called it the over and under counts. Tell us a little bit about, number one, where the elections are currently for the state positions, especially governor and Senate races. Those are the two highlight races in this midterm for Florida. But there are also some other races and local things that were on the ballot. So tell us a little bit about what's going on. Bring us up to date on the finals of the election. I think the process ends tomorrow with the hand count. Is that correct for the Senate seat?
Today.
Today. Okay,
yeah. Good. So where do we start? So right now we just wrapped up the recount, the machine recount in the gubernatorial races, and we have a new governor, and
who's the new? Yeah, tell everybody who finally won the final count.
Former Congressman Ron DeSantis. Congratulations to the DeSantis campaign. That was tough. It's okay. So after a couple of days of the recount in the gubernatorial race, Mr. Ron DeSantis is our new governor for the state of Florida. That wrapped up on yesterday. The recount was one of the first that we had in a long time since the infamous 2000 elections. So this one was very close. I mean, this was like a nail biter to the very end.
Wow.
To where you had people all across the state. You had attorneys from both sides, volunteers, staffers that were at all 67 supervisor of election offices across the state, watching and observing these votes to the very end. And this was a demonstration of why your vote does matter. Because we hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, my vote don't count. What's the big deal? And we saw it demonstrated nationally, the big deal. And even with our neighboring state in Georgia, how much your votes does matter. And so right now we are in the process of a hand recount in the Senate race.
Okay.
And Darren, what does a hand recount mean? Are they recounting every vote, that all 8 million plus votes?
Yeah, so the focus for the hand recount is to look at the overvotes and undervotes. And so the overvote is say that and one part of the ballot that says choose one, but you end up choosing two.
Okay.
And so, but you can kind of tell, like, you may circle one and then cross it out and then went
too much ambiguity. it depends on who's looking at it.
Yeah. And so you look at that to try to distinguish
which one is probably the one that they wanted to choose.
So you overvoted because you only put it says choose one. And somehow you chose
two.
And the undervote is the complete opposite, where you don't choose anything at all, where it says choose one. And so, or you may have voted for the governor, but you didn't vote for Senate, but you voted for advocate. So you have to go back and now for that specific race, you have to now see, okay, well, did they vote for the Senate race? And that vote goes towards that particular race.
Okay, so if they undervoted and didn't bubble in anything, so who gets to determine what that particular person
might,
who
they took? Ballot. But if you voted for, so say that right now, a lot of people we saw that voted in the governor race that didn't vote in the Senate race down south.
Okay.
And so, but they voted for the agriculture race. So you'll take that ballot and you'll focus on the ones that was chosen.
The ones that was chosen and just
and pick. For this recount. So you don't even worry about the ones that didn't vote.
Okay.
You know.
That's interesting.
So the person viewing the ballot is really the one who's going to make that decision on whether who they determined they would have voted for.
Yeah. Yes.
So that goes back to intent, correct?
Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have the observers from both sides. Okay. So you'll have a rep from each campaign.
Okay.
You have attorneys, you have volunteers on both sides. Will be there to say, hey, yeah, that's our vote or that's your vote.
Okay, so, so it appears that based on the outcome of the gubernatorial race and DeSantis, congratulations to him and his campaign. And then it appears also that Governor Rick Scott will be Senator Rick Scott. It seems like he and DeSantis just switched seats, huh?
Well, they would definitely switch cities. So one would be going to D.C., one is coming from D.C., and one's going to Tallahassee, the other's coming from that. So they would definitely be switching.
Okay, so as of currently, I know yesterday before I went to bed, it was 50-50 with Scott and Nelson. So
right now, it's still extremely close, but with the votes out and the Nelson's team was really hoping to pull from those overvotes and undervotes, but the way that's looking right now, there's not enough votes to.
So Darren, what about the votes that weren't in on election day, even though they were postmarked election day? You know, like overseas, the military folks that didn't get their votes in time. Are they going to count those votes, or were those the lawsuits that were one of the seven or eight lawsuits that were directed at this campaign over the past week?
So you're referring to the vote by mail?
Correct.
So from my understanding that during the recount, the machine recount, those were counted as well.
Okay.
And so even with those that were outstanding, it still wasn't enough to sway the vote. However, it did really close the gap.
Okay.
So most people say, well, what's the point of the recount and what's the point of my vote? What's the big deal? It didn't matter. It didn't change anything. It did in the sense of the margins. And that's where a lot of the things look. So like for what your point was that you saw it was 50-50, true, but the margins are closer than what it was on election night.
Okay.
And so that helps you with future elections to see where we are and how far that we have to go.
Okay. And Larry and Dr. Danford and Darren, we do have a caller on the line. I don't think they want to chime in about the elections, but good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. You wanted to speak? Hi. You wanted to speak about the metal detectors this morning?
Yes. I'm calling because I'm Diana Green.
Okay, good morning, Diana Green. All right.
Superintendent?
Yes, the superintendent at school. Good morning.
Well, good.
Good morning. I just wanted to clarify a couple of points. One, the grant is $4 million. The metal detectors do not cost $4 million. The metal detectors will be less than $150,000 for 22 high schools. So it will be two walk-through metal detectors for every high school.
Okay.
So I wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
The remaining money dollars will be spent on other safety and security measures. And those particular items are protected under statute for confidentiality. So that information was shared with our school board during an executive session. But I just needed to clarify, we did not spend $4 million on metal detectors.
Okay, so it costs less than $150,000.
Are they portable metal detectors?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that question.
Ask the question, John.
Okay, are they portable metal detectors? The article reports that they are portable walk-through metal detectors. Are those the type of metal detectors that are going to be implemented?
Yes, okay. They are portable, but they will remain at the school, at each school. And the main use for them are for when the school receives a threat. In addition to the walkthroughs, we've increased the number of handheld metal detectors. So schools can still do, if they want to do a random check, they have that authority now, and they still will have that authority. The walkthroughs just make it a lot easier and a lot quicker for them to check students. When you have high schools over 1,500 students, that can become increase in time and be very difficult. And all of our administrators are trained on how to use the walkthroughs as well as the handheld.
Okay, and with the handheld, they can randomly, the school has the choice of implementing the use of the handheld scanner at random.
What was the reason for choosing the portable versus the permanent metal detectors?
The reason was, one, we are still trying to keep a balance of making sure our schools don't look like prisons. And we could get the same level of effectiveness with these portables, so they can be removed and stored at the school, and then whenever the school feels they need to use those, they can easily pull them out, and they lock in place once they've decided this is the location I want. It locks in place and will remain stable in that location. And portable just gave us more flexibility because they can use them at their sporting event. So if at a basketball game they want to use the walk-through metal detectors, those can be unlocked and moved to that location.
Okay.
So it was that, really that, about
that's
giving
awesome,
the
Dr.
Green.
And thank you for calling in and clarifying, you know, the questions that we had regarding the metal detectors. You know, sometimes we, as journalists, we get into the where's and the and want more answers. And I appreciate you calling in and clarifying that. Will the metal detectors be just used in the high schools, or will they be used in the middle schools as well?
The walkthroughs will only be in the high school.
And Dr. Green, you said also that the metal detectors will not be on a regular basis. Is there a reason why you all chose not to have them on a regular basis and just deploy them when there's a threat?
Yes. Again, we have high schools that have over 2,000 students, and it can be time-consuming because it's more than just walkthrough. Once you hear something, then they need their handhelds to go and do a further check. And so it was important, one, to make sure that we could still run our schools efficiently, but at the same time, we have the capabilities to be more restrictive in how people enter our schools. So that's why we chose those.
Okay.
And Dr. Green, you said those could and might be used as for high school sporting events like football, basketball games, and other types of extracurricular activities. Was that part of the reasoning behind the portable detectors?
That is correct. Our police department went out and examined what the Jacksonville Jaguars use, and basically we are using the same type of metal detector mobile unit that they use at the stadium. Ours is very similar.
Okay,
great.
Well, right, well, thank you so much, Dr. Green, for calling in this morning and clarifying the question about the amount of money that is being spent towards the metal detectors and how they're going to be used.
Gentlemen,
yes.
Gentlemen, ask her about the safety officers. Where are they with the safety officers?
I believe she could hear the question. What is the status on the safety officers in the schools?
We actually have a new class graduating at the end of this month. All of our schools are covered. They are either covered with our school safety officers. All of our secondary schools have school safety officers. Okay. Our elementaries have school safety assistants. For the schools that we still have a vacancy, or we don't have, these individuals haven't graduated yet, we still are working with JSO to support those schools. So all of our schools are covered with a level of either a JSO officer or our own police department, school safety officer, or a school safety assistant.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you once again for calling in and giving us those updates and clarifications, Dr. Green. You have a wonderful morning.
Thank you.
All right.
And the same to you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so we are going to take a break, and this is Victory Belongs to Jesus by Todd Delaney. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Who will stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who will stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh, oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me. So who can stand?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to Praise 107.9. This is the Empowerment Hour. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams, and Dr. Richard Danford is traveling, and he needed to chime off with us this morning. So have fun, Dr. Danford. And we also have a political commentator as our guest in the studio, Darren Mason Sr. So thank you again, Darren, for being here. We have been talking about the election recount, and I just want to, and also the metal detectors that are going to be implemented into the high schools and Duval County schools. So we thank you, Dr. Green, for calling in for that clarification.
Absolutely.
All right. So Larry, yeah,
and really thank you, Dr. Green, for calling in. Glad to know that you're listening. But at the same time, you know, we as we talked about the metal detectors and so forth, you know, we'd love to have you on the air to explain some of the other things that are going on in Duval County Public Schools and how your tenure is going as the new superintendent here in Duval County Public Schools. But that's for another day. And I call us if you are listening, like Dr. Green, or call in at 296-2251 and tell us what you're thinking about the metal detectors, the election, or something else that's going on in Jacksonville. Darren Mason Sr., and thank you for coming in, being our guest political commentator this morning. Overall, the election, what were your thoughts about the turnout in Duval County and also statewide?
So we have reached a record voter turnout for a midterm election, non-presidential. And wow. So here in Duval, last time I was here, I said that we are in a state of emergency. And I am pleased to say is that the listeners and the voter base here really responded to that, because we were at a 62% voter turnout here in Duval County. And so for us, that is huge. That's big. And that can be accounted to just different organizations, the two parties. You know, it's a step that they're outreach and voter engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for us, we had literally presidential type polling sites where the lines were, you know, long, but people waited. And the enthusiasm here in Duval County was very good.
Well, Darren, do you think that what's going on in government, you know, in the White House, and just how leadership, the way that they are, you know, just implementing just some of the things that they're doing, like as far as down at the border, and just their treatment of people and just their leadership style, do you think that may have influenced the voter turnout this time?
I think it was that, because Jacksonville has a very increasing number of population of immigrants and people who are moving here from different countries. We have a influx of new residents here from Puerto Rico. And so that was played a huge part, especially the Hispanic vote in Jacksonville is becoming a voting block, a large, rapid voting block here in Duval County. And so just talking to the different people, like that was that drove.
Okay.
But also the Amendment 4. Okay, Michael. Amendment 4 was big here in Jacksonville. The coordinating effort here in Duval County around that amendment, which passed.
What was that amendment, Darren, for those that aren't familiar with the Amendment 4?
Yeah, so that allowed the restoration of voting rights for ex-felons.
Yes.
And so that, I think, played a huge part of the voter turnout as well.
Is that potentially another million votes?
Yes, so the whole campaign spiel was that roughly 1.6 million Floridians did not have their right to vote. And so now we have over a million people that will be able to vote. And I believe registration will be starting in January.
Okay.
So they'll be able to go and re-register. How does that, what's that process?
So right now it's still kind of fluid of how the thing is going to look. But for the most part, from my understanding, that in January, they'll be able to register to vote, and some will be able to re-register again.
Okay.
And they'll be able to participate into our local elections in March, on March 19th.
So, all right. So we got history in the books.
The next major election for Jacksonville and Duval County is, if I believe, the elections for county and positions, councils, mayor, and so forth. Is that correct? And that's in March of 2019. That's not very far away.
It's not. So, yes. So,
ex-felons, y'all get out there and register to vote.
Registration is
your vote counts.
Coordinated efforts are on the way right now. And so in March, March 19th is our unitary elections, also known as the first election. It's not called a primary because, you know, we here in Duval County is consolidated. So with our consolidated government, meaning that our county is the city and the city is the county,
okay,
we don't have primaries for our local elections. So we have our first election, which is partisan. So that you will be representing your party on the ballot. So you will see Democrat, Republican on the ballot. So that's why it's not considered a primary, because you can have two Democrats and two Republicans running for the same seat.
Okay.
So,
okay.
All right. So we're going to have to take a break because we're enjoying the conversation. Well, we're going to have to take another music break and then we're going to be back. So this is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
I know it may seem like your life is falling apart, but don't you know God's already working it out? There's strength in you, you are born to win. So don't quit now, here comes your second wind. I know it may be hard to believe it. You cried so hard, your eyes are crimson. The pain in your life is overwhelming. If you did it before, you can do it again.
I know it may seem like your life is falling apart,
but don't you know that God is
already working it out,
yeah.
Strength in you wanna win.
Oh, here comes your second win.
Here comes your second win.
I know you can't.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, along with Larry Williams and our guest in the studio, Darren Mason Sr. This is our Entrepreneur Corner. So if you are a small business owner or there are any events that are upcoming, you can call in at 296-2251 to let the community know about your business or your event. And we do have a faithful listener and caller, Michael Cobb. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. So let us know what's going on at Accentuate over at the Landing.
Yeah, before I do that, I want to hats off to Dr. Green. She spoke at one of my breakfast meetings, and I mean, hats off for her while the football season was going on with the high school, that she switched the games to nighttime, to daytime, state the reason, and that was awesome.
Yes. All right.
Hey, what I got going on, the Taste of the Holidays is going to continue. We have inside the boutique today from 12 to 2, we have Sweet in Every Bite and More. She'll be giving out some nice treats from 12 to 2 o'clock. She was one of our featured bakeries chef at the Taste of the Holidays from 12 to 2, okay. And everything in the store will be 25% off.
Okay, so we can come taste some desserts from 12 to 2 and shop for some jewelry.
Jarman, I like that. You punched it right on there.
Double whammy right there.
Double whammy. All right.
We're located right in the Jacksonville Landing.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. You too.
All right. I was asked Darren, Michael, if the Landing was still open. I guess it still is, huh?
Yes, it's still open, and the lines are still open for the Entrepreneur Corner. So if you are a small business owner, you can call in at 296-2251. So Larry, we were...
And while we're waiting on that, thank you, John. Mm-hmm. While we're waiting on that, let's go back and finish up talking about the elections. Again, your vote counts. If you haven't registered to vote, get out and register to vote. That makes the difference. You can't win if you're not in the game, and you can't. The game means voting. And Darren, let's finish up the Duval County voting in March, and that's a semi quote unquote primary because the actual election is that in July?
In May.
It's in May. Okay.
In May. So we'll take the two. Top voting go-getters, and they will compete in a runoff if it has not reached 50% plus one. And so,
okay, go ahead.
So if you didn't get 50 percent plus one, then there will be a runoff between the top two voting candidates, and then they will compete in the general in May.
So if those two are two Democrats, can it be two Democrats that's running in May?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So Larry, hold on. I'm sorry, Larry. We do have a caller, so let's pause on that, and then we'll get back to the election. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Okay, thanks. My name is Eugene Reeves with Genesis Landscaping, first of all.
Okay.
And I'd just like to inform the community that we're full-service landscaping business in the Duval and surrounding counties. And we like to try to educate people that a lot of times people tend to just lay off the lawns during the fall and winter months.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most important time. I can leave my telephone number. They can call, and we can enlighten them on how to do the necessary treatments for the fall and the winter months so it can sustain the lawn and shrub and trees.
Okay, and that's Genesis Landscaping?
Genesis.
Okay, Genesis Landscaping, and what's the phone number?
It's 703. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me back up. 904 is the area code.
Mm-hmm.
703-7245.
72.
What areas do they cover?
What areas do you cover?
We cover Duval, all of John Clay. Yes, we get the whole gamut.
Okay, Duval County, St. John's County, and Clay County. So all areas in those counties, and that's Genesis Landscaping.
Yes,
that's a lot of territory to cover. I know you must have a lot of employees. Well, thank you for calling in to the Empowerment Hour and continue listening and continue calling and promote your business. Bring a little more enthusiasm next time about Genesis.
Okay, I apologize. Thank you.
All right.
Hey, not on apology.
Mm-hmm. All right, have a good day.
Okay. All right, bye.
Okay, all right, Larry. So you were talking to Darren about the voting and when that was going to take place, and there could be two Democrats on the the ballot. Okay, so you all can continue with that.
Is that does that happen all the time? No, but can it happen? Yes, and so that's what makes our elections, our local elections, very unique here in Duval County, because you can have two Democrats go in a runoff for the general elections.
How long has that process been in place, Darren, for this type of election?
It was part of the consolidation plan.
So 50 years ago.
Yeah. And it was taken from a county out in Louisiana. That's where the first time we've seen that type of election system.
Oh, okay. Cool. And so I know that... in March, and so folks now are gearing up. What races will there be for March? I mean, are we voting for mayor, city council, or other county positions?
Yes, so we will have the mayor is up for re-election. The sheriff is up for re-election. All city council seats will be up. However, some will be up for re-election, and some will be open seats.
Okay.
And so the mayor, sheriff, the all the constitutional officers. So the supervisor of elections, the property appraiser is up for re-election. Tax collector is up for re-election. Well, we had a special election for tax collector in the midterms. Okay. And then there, he replied the winner of our new tax collector, Jim Overton, has filed to rerun in March to finish out that term.
Okay, so the next.
So Darren, what about the council seats held by the folks, the two that have been suspended, the Browns?
Yes, so there is there will be an election for that as well. So districts that you're referring to are District 10 as well as District 8. And so there are numerous candidates in both of those seats. So
yeah, are Reggie and Katrina were their seats up, or would they have been facing re-election?
Councilwoman Katrina Brown would have been up for re-election. Councilman Brown, his term was up this cycle.
Okay,
so that would have been an open seat anyway.
Okay, hypothetically, could Katrina run as for her position again?
Hypothetically, as of now, she's suspended. So, okay. As of now, no.
Okay.
Okay. So she's suspended for this term, but after this for re-election, would she still be suspended?
That would determine on the governor and the legal actions.
Okay, so we'll have a new governor, so things might change. Okay, good. Let's move on.
Okay, so that's March 2019. That's when these next elections are going to be.
Don't be
open.
Surprised if you see Darren Mason on the ballot.
All right. City
Council. we gave you that shameless plug.
So again, just remember that those who ex felons in January, yes, they will be able to register. Mm-hmm. And you, Darren, you mentioned that was there may be over a million people that will have the opportunity to vote. So our votes do count. I just wanted
to say something real quick. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people think that their vote doesn't matter, so they don't vote, but what you have to understand is that your no vote is a vote. And so typically, right, it's most people don't want you to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not voting is a vote.
Right.
Saying that you're not interested.
So not voting is not the best form of protesting.
No.
Correct.
Because people don't see the voting process and what comes behind it.
Right.
When you elect your officials, they represent your interests. Mm-hmm. And so,
correct,
like I tell people all the time, your vote is your public dollar. And the consultants and developers, those are the investors. So they're seeing that their public dollar is not being used, or there's no interest there. A lot of stuff you won't get. And me working in policies, I see the importance of these policies.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be an entrepreneur, well, you need to see who's voting in the business in the best interest for small business owners.
Absolutely. Right. So what about those people who say,
particularly in your district?
In your district.
Key.
Yeah. Because we have to see the growth within our eyes,
right,
reach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not seeing it, you need to hold those people accountable that we're electing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we do have a caller on the line really quick. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Yes, quickly, I'm a voter, and I've been voting since I was 18, and I'm 40 years old now, constantly.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My aggravation is the fact that every time that there's a runoff, I'm not understanding how they declare a winner per se when they don't even finish counting the absentee ballot votes. I'm not understanding that, and no, I just don't grasp that.
I think that's a question that a lot of people do have. Sometimes
it's all part of learning the process. Okay, and we touched on it briefly, and we're going to have that as another topic for another day, because it's not just a cut and dry answer. It's a process, and I think one of the keys is to getting your votes in early. If you're absentee voters, and those votes, they say you can postmark them,
by election day. But if you really wanted to be counted, you know who you're going to vote for. So why not vote, you know, 2 weeks or so out and make sure your ballot is in on time? That's how you get your votes counted as far as I'm concerned. But that process needs to be explored, and part of that process is knowing the system, and that's what Darren was just talking about, you know, getting involved locally in your politics and with the policies going to City Hall, learning the process. That's how we can help each other learn about the system and also make sure that our votes are counted in our best interest.
Right. It's about becoming educated and aware of the processes. So I had a thank you, callers, for calling in this morning. Have a great day.
No problem. I thank y'all, and I listen to the Praise Station constantly. I love it, and the world should be able to